Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Tom, and I am the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. And we want to welcome you to our School of the Prophets. Today you're going to be listening to the Reverend Bruce Ford as he shares a message entitled Faith in the Midst of Despair. Faith in the Midst of Despair. It'll be coming from the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to pray that this word will encourage you today. You can listen to more of Reverend or Minister Bruce Ford's messages by going to www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. Click the Ford tab and you can get more of his messages. And now, let's get into the Word.
Once again, it's an honor and privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy and precious name. Father God, I come this evening in Jesus' name, Father God, seeking your guidance and your direction. I come seeking your anointing, Father God. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Father God, I come in Jesus' name asking that you would remove anything within me that's not pleasing in your sight. Father God, remove anything that would hinder me, Father God, from speaking the words that you place within my heart. Father God, give me ears to hear as you speak to me, Father God. Father God, and I ask in Jesus' name that you would use me to bring glory and honor to your most holy and precious name. Father God, I come this evening and I pray, Father God, for some soul that may be hurting. Father God, minister to them today in Jesus' name. Minister to them through the website of ministry, Father God. Just have your way, Almighty God. Father God, I pray that you bless your word. I ask that you would speak to me and speak through me that your people might be edified and that your name might be glorified. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we glorify you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our text tonight, we've got a focal point text, but we're going to read a few because in order to get to our focal verses, we need to understand a little bit about what was going on in this book of Habakkuk. And we're looking at, first we're going to look at Habakkuk 1:1-4. Then we're going to look at chapter 2:2-4. And then we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 17-19a. It is, well, like I said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. God is so good. God is blessing us. And a lot of times we don't even realize we're being blessed. When you found it, I encourage us to signify by saying amen. And in reverence to God's word, I encourage us to stand if you're able. And the word of God says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 2-4. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. All right. Then we're going to look at verses 17-19a. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. And I went ahead and read all the 19th verse. Our focus tonight is on the 17th through the 19th verse. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Tonight I would like to tag this text, Faith in the Midst of Despair. You know, if I was to ask a question of those who hear my voice tonight on what they know about Habakkuk, I might get one or two people to be able to say something. Because being honest, before I got this text, you know, I knew Habakkuk was a book in the Bible, but I didn't know a lot about Habakkuk. But I thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to go to that book and to hear from God from that book. Very little is known about Habakkuk except that he was a trained servant of the Lord, a prophet of deep emotional strength who cried out to God for answers to the problems he saw in Israel. Habakkuk wrote his message when Judah was facing invasion from the armies of Babylon. God used Habakkuk to answer the logical questions that arose as Judah faced imminent attack from an ungodly nation. But unlike the other prophets who spoke for God, Habakkuk spoke to God. Habakkuk's message consisted of two honest questions and God's answers. Habakkuk trusted God, but he did not understand God's method of working. And I want to put a pin right there. And there are those of us under the sound of my voice who trust God, and we get to a point where we don't understand God's methods. And so when God comes at us in a way to grow us up, we get discouraged. We get frustrated. And then we either want to quit or we either want to complain. But God has a message for us in this book tonight. God is telling us that he wants us to look to him. The first question the prophet asked was, why do you allow people to live wickedly without punishment? Do you not care? God answered, my care and my patience has run out. Babylon is going to conquer my people to punish them for their sins and unfaithfulness. God's answer to the first question prompted Habakkuk to ask, why would you use a wicked nation like Babylon to accomplish your purpose? To this, God replied, it is not important what tool I use for judgment. What is important is that each individual turn to me in faith. Salvation was and is not a national matter. It came as it comes today through a personal relationship established with God through faith. God concluded his answer with the command that all the earth worship him. As the prophet began to understand the plan of God, he broke out in a psalm of praise to God for his faithfulness. The closing verses of the book offers a tremendous affirmation of his faith. In his psalm, Habakkuk envisions possible losses that may come to him and his people, but asserts that regardless of what happens, he will rejoice because the Lord God is my strength. Tonight, we want to look at faith in the midst of despair through the following key points. The trauma and trust. The trial of trust. The triumph of trust. Remaining faithful to God in the face of horrible personal and national disasters is impossibly difficult. Habakkuk eloquently describes the trauma a person feels when everything seems to be falling apart. More important, Habakkuk dares to dialogue with God on the subject of God's justice. How many of us have heard and are coming up, "Don't question God"? All my life, that's what I heard. But in my study, I see a man asking God questions. A man that don't understand what's going on, that is saying, "God, why?" And then, "God, why this group? Why would you use this group to deal with us? They're worse than we are." Tonight, I want to tell you that it's okay to ask God questions.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because you know what? If you don't ask questions, you're never going to learn.
Well.
In every storm that you go through in your life, God is trying to bring you to a point of a closer relationship with Him. So if you don't ask questions, a lot of times you're going to miss it. I can tell you from firsthand experience that I missed it sometimes because I wouldn't ask God questions, because I had been taught, "Don't question God." You know, I want to go back a little bit. In 1988, while incarcerated at Crabtree Correctional Facility in Helena, Oklahoma, one of my closest times with God before I came home, before I arrived to where I am now. But God had allowed me to be at a place where I was growing in Him.
Yes, 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 yes.
I had a brother that's, you're younger than me, that I was praying for. Praying for all my brothers, but I was really especially praying for Doug. Because Doug saw the pattern of his life a little bit after mine. You know, I went to the penitentiary, he went to the penitentiary. I go back to the penitentiary, he go back to the penitentiary. So I was praying for my brother. And the Lord allowed him to get out of the penitentiary. But the Lord allowed a woman to come into his life, a preacher's daughter. And I would call my brother, and they got married. And I would call my brother and encourage him in the Lord. And I called him one time to encourage him in the Lord. And he said, "Man, I got saved." Joy. Joy. Unspeakable joy. Flooded through my soul. Because he was a child of God. Was in the church every Sunday. Trying to do what he was supposed to do. But one day, I get a phone call. You know, and if you're locked up and you get a phone call from home, it's not a good sign. You know, some trauma came into my life. And I looked up trauma, and it's an emotional shock that causes psychological damage. You know, that day I got some trauma. Because I was told that my brother was killed in a car wreck. And it wasn't the fact that he died, but it was how he died. Because they went on to tell me that he burned up in the car. The car flipped. The highway patrol told him that the car flipped. He knocked him out, and he burned up in the car. Nag questions. God, I'm doing everything you want me to do. I'm growing in you. But why did you take my brother? I prayed for God's peace. I prayed for God's strength. I prayed for my family. And God had placed me in a body of believers. The world would say we're convicted felons, that they were no good, that they weren't trustworthy. But these men loved me. They surrounded me. They encouraged me. They prayed with me. And God's peace came over me. And God told me that this is my child. And I wanted him home with me. Trauma and trust. I didn't lose. My faith didn't waver. Because the Lord gave it. And the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had trauma in my trust. And just so you know, that because I want you to understand about the trust, my faith that God had placed within me. Funeral day came. The day before the funeral, we're praying, but Lord, please let him go visit, see us, be with his family during this time. But the brothers began to pray, Lord, give him some people, guards that's going to take him and it's going to treat him like he's never been treated before. That morning came, the time came, and one of the guards was a mean guard. I knew him. I dealt with him on the yard, and the other one was all right. They shackled me up and headed this way. They told me in wrath that we'll go to the funeral. When the funeral's over, we're coming back. But you know, I had brothers at Crabtree praying. I was on that van reading my Bible and praying. I was trusting in God. I wasn't trusting in nothing they said or nobody else said. I was trusting in God. We get here. They pull up. They take me off the van. They bring me in and sit me down right there by that door, the north side of that door. When I'm coming in, Tammy and Sue said, come on back outside. Because the rule was you don't take nothing off. So they took me outside and they took the shackles off around my waist, took the shackles off my feet, come back in and sent me back down. Now I'm supposed to sit in the back, but I've already begun to praise God for that little bit. But what God did is God touched their heart again because of prayer, because of trust in God. Not in the problem, but in God. And what God did is he touched their heart. And they said, hey, do you want to sit with your family? I was blessed to sit in between my mother and my daughter. And my faith grew. My faith grew because God showed himself to me. But that ain't through. God wasn't through yet. The service is over. We go outside. They tell me, say, well, where's the cemetery? We're going to let you go to the cemetery. I'm praising God because that wasn't supposed to be. We go to the cemetery. We get through at the cemetery. Now, I'm thankful for all that I've gotten thus far. But God wasn't through yet. Because at the graveside, they say, where does your grandmother live? We're going to take you by to see your grandmother. God could have stopped right then. He could have stopped right then. They took me to my grandmother's house. They took the handcuffs off in our front yard. Told me to go in and see my grandmother. I go in, family's there. Grandmother had two back doors. If I'd have been trusting in myself, I could have been gone. And nobody know Paul's Valley like I know Paul's Valley. They would have never called me. Police wouldn't have called me. But I was trusting in God. Because I was having trauma in my trust. But after we get through, because I tell them, I go back and I say, okay, you know, I just spent time with my grandmother and my family. I said, okay, I'm ready. They say, well, your family say they're having food at the church for you. Do you want to go by the church? I said, well, I don't want to get you in any trouble. No problem. They bring me to the church. They say, go on in the church. And I tell them to come on. And they come and we go in the education building. I can walk anywhere I want to. They ain't paying me no attention. I get to reading. My family fixes them plates because they're appreciative of what they've done. I got through eating. My family got through tired. I was starting getting tired of my family. Not really, but you know, didn't want to get them people in no trouble because they had been good to me. And I go and I tell one of them, I said, hey, y'all, let's go. They said, well, are you sure? We can stay a little longer. And I said, no. I want to tell y'all, I am so appreciative of what you've done for me. And they go on, we go on. And I thank God for them. You know, I can't even remember their names. Because if I could, I'd call out their names right now in Jesus' name. Because they saw God in the midst of all that was going on. And they allowed God to use them. But my point is trauma and trust. Because I trusted God, God turned my trauma into triumph. You know what? In the face of traumas of life, we can confront the most traumatizing event of all. And that is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And in facing that, we can understand that God may still be trusted. Because Christ faced a trauma. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he faced a trauma. He had to die for a people that didn't appreciate it. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Why did he say that? Because God can still be trusted in the face of trauma. But you know, we have trials of trust. Does being faithful to God bring comfort and success? Some say, yes, believing brings material prosperity and emotional joy. But what that is, that's a marshmallow world with a cherry on top. Because Habakkuk didn't believe that. We read in chapter 2 how the rich sometimes got richer because of the poor man's debt, giving them luxury and security. But Habakkuk promises that the wicked person cannot reverse God's order forever without punishment. You reap what you sow. God does not overlook the oppressive acts of the cruel or powerful. And in his own time, the right time, he will bring his judgment. God told Habakkuk to wait. What is God telling you to wait on? You're looking for a job. Qualify. But the job ain't coming. You got a trial of trust. There's a job over here. that, hey, you can go do. But God's saying, wait. There is a direction God is trying to lead you. And there is something over here that looks good. It looks real good. You're in the midst of a trial of trust. But God says, wait.
Wait, wait, wait.
The Lord says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And I shall strengthen thine heart. Where we get into trouble is God has a plan for us over here somewhere. We can't see that plan that God has. But Satan places something that looks really good. It's going to pay the bills. It's got benefits. It's going to bring me closer to where I need to be. But God says, wait. Be of good courage, and I shall strengthen your thine heart. Satan is bringing people in your path. You're doing all you can for the Lord. And Satan has got these people picking at you, messing with you. Come here, Paul. Paul knows all about that. Everywhere Paul went, somebody was picking at him and messing with him. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God says, wait. It looks good. We want God to work right now. But God has a plan. God has the master plan. God says, wait. If you're going through this today, you're in a trial of trust. What are you going to do in the midst of that trial? Are you going to trust God, or are you going to go your own way? My encouragement to you is you trust God. You wait on God. Because the trial is not going to last forever. You're in the midst of a storm. But you know what? If you're in the middle of the storm, and God tells you to wait, you need to wait. But when God tells you to go, you need to go. Because you know what? The storm won't last always. You know, because God has promised us a covenant promise that he would never let it flood you again. And he sent you a sign as the rainbow to let you know that your life won't be flooded anymore. Because all you got is a trial. You know, and in order to get where God wants you to be, you got to go through that trial. But in the midst of that trial, you need to trust. Don't trust in your abilities. Do not trust in your intellect. You trust in God. Bible said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the midst of that trial, God is there with you. I love the footprints in the sand. When that individual thought that he was all by himself, all he could see is one set of footprints. Well, God, where are you at? Where are you at? I'm carrying you. Trial and trust. Let me move right on. Because I want you to know tonight, there is triumph in trust. Evil cannot ultimately prevail. And God assures us that. Sometimes God allows disappointments to occur so that we will learn to rely on him more fully. To walk by faith and not by sight. But never forget this. While disappointments are inevitable, discouragement is a choice. I don't think you heard me. Disappointment's going to come into your life. But this is discouragement is a choice. You can either see the dark cloud or you can see the bright sunshine. That's a choice. You can see your cup runneth over or you can see your cup empty. You can see your cupboard bare, or you can see your cupboard full. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor as seed begging bread. You can trust in God, or you can trust in your own abilities. Discouragement is a choice. That's a place in our lives that we get when we choose to get. Because I have trials and tribulations, don't mean I got to let them get me down. Because I look at the example that was set before us. Now let's walk through the Bible a little bit. Jacob has some trouble. He asked for Rachel. His daddy tricked him. Father-in-law, rather, tricked him and gave him Leah. That's trouble. You know, you want one girl and you get another. He could have been discouraged. But was he discouraged? No. What did he do? He said, well, hey, for 70 more years, I'll work for you. I want her. So I'm willing to work 7 more years for her. And at the end of that time, Laban's still trying to trick him. Did he get discouraged? No. He made a choice to work it out. He made a choice to trust in God. One more time, I just want to deal with two more people before I move on to the end of this. Because the Bible, these people that's in the Bible were given for our example. So when you feeling discouraged, you go to the Bible. Everything that we go through, God has placed somebody in that Bible that's already gone through the same thing. Just a different time. Same thing, different time. But let's look at Joseph. Joseph knew in himself his potential. He tried to share it with his brothers and his dad. They couldn't see him. That was his vision. And it wasn't time for them to see his vision. So they decided that they're going to cross the brother out. But you know, God had his hand on Joseph. So he didn't let him bring any home. Because it was all in God's plan. But you know what? When his brother sold him into slavery, he continued to trust in God. Even while he was in slavery, he trusted God. And then God elevated him in Potiphar's house. Second in command. You know, power. Ain't nobody telling him what to do, nobody but Potiphar. Here he is, a slave. The other people in his house can't tell him nothing. But he continued to trust in God. Got tricked. Tricked off, I want to say. I use that term because you understand that term. But like Potiphar's wife. Hey, good looking. Come here. Lay with me. Joseph said, oh, no. All in God's plan. Joseph pleads. She grabs his cloak. He gets put in prison. He didn't give up. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. He continued to seek God. He continued to praise God. He continued to glorify God. He continued to thank God. And in God's time, God elevated him again. Because God had given him a dream. And an ability to interpret dreams. So even in the midst of all the trouble that he went through, he triumphed. His triumph was in his trust. Jesus. Faced Calvary. Came to earth, left kingdom. Let his kingdom, all the glory, to come down and go through trauma, to go through trials, and all of this in his trust. But he refused to turn his eyes away from God. Went about doing good, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, spent time in prayer with God, teaching God's word to God's people, encouraging, loving, making himself available to people. Even in the midst of his trauma, even in the midst of his trials, he continued to trust in God. But he had to go to Calvary. Being honest, if it had been me, we'd have been in trouble. I'm just being honest. Because for what my Lord endured for me and for you, I don't know if I could have took it. Yeah, I trust the Lord. But that's a test. That's trauma in his trust. Those were trials in his trust. Everybody that he reached out to turned against him. Some of those people that he helped lied on him. Some of those people that walked with him deserted him. There was even one who betrayed him. But you know what? He went all the way. He went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. He continued to trust God because he knew that God's plan was a better plan. They laid him in a tomb. He continued to trust God. Friday night. Saturday night. But Lord, 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 on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He had triumph in his trust. Jesus got up triumphant. Jesus got up. And because he got up, we can get up. You know, I want to encourage us today that we can have faith in our despair. Everything that comes against us is coming for a reason. Because God, the word says that God ain't going to put no more on us than we're able to bear. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in God? James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. In Philippians 4:13, it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the 18th verse of Habakkuk, the word of God says is that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on high heels. If we trust in God, even in the trauma, God will bring us through. If we trust in God, even through the trials, God will bring us through. And even when we're triumphing, we need to continue to trust in God. Come here, Joseph. Come here, Daniel. Three Hebrew boys, come here. Paul, can you testify that if you trust God, you will triumph? Jesus set the example. He triumphed in trust. You can triumph in trust too. You can have faith in the midst of your despair. Because you know what? God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our trust is not in our things. It's not in our abilities. It's not in our intellect. But our trust is in God. And because we have trust in God, we can triumph in the midst of our trust. Habakkuk said, I will joy in the Lord. For the Lord my God is my strength. And rejoice means that I'm going to be joyful over and over and over again. That's rejoicing. And what is our joy? My joy is in Jesus. Because on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he has washed it white as snow. That's triumph in your trust. Our trust is in Jesus today. This evening, for those of you who are under the sound of my voice, I want to leave you with these encouraging words. That no matter what you go through in life, God loves you. No matter what you face in life, God loves you. No matter how hard it seems, he's there. And God is only a prayer away. For the word of God says that we believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead. The word of God says you shall be saved. All we have to do is believe and confess. So my prayer tonight is that as God deals with your heart, that you will surrender to him. For those of you who trust God up to a point, I want to encourage you to let go and let God have all of you. Because if you look back over your life, you'll see that God has never failed you. When you thought you were lonely, he was right there. When you were hungry, he was providing food. So my encouragement to you tonight is that you make a deeper commitment to God. Because you can have faith even in the midst of despair. Let's go to the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy and precious name. Father God, I come to you and I pray for the men and women, Father God, who has heard you speak to them tonight. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch their hearts and their minds, Father God, and draw them to you. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would send forth laborers into their path. Father God, that they may answer the questions that are before them. Father God, just have your way in Jesus' precious and holy name. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for all that you do for us. We praise you, we love you, and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. You've been listening to a message by the Reverend Bruce Ford entitled Faith in the Midst of Despair. And right now, I believe that God wants you to have faith in the midst of despair, because if you don't know him, maybe your trials, maybe your disparity is what God is trying to use to get you in right relationship with him. And you can have faith in the midst of your despair if you believe God's plan of salvation. You see, in order to understand God's plan of salvation, first of all, you have to realize that you are a sinner. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says that God's penalty for sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 3:23. But the good news is on the second part of that verse, which says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. You see, if you want to have faith in the midst of your despair, all you have to do is believe what God says. God's word says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, if you want to get right with God, if you want to have faith in the midst of your despair, all you have to do is believe what God says. God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can have faith in the midst of your despair if you call on the name of the Lord today. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead as the cost or price or penalty for my sins. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer or willing to pray that prayer, then you can have faith in your despair and God will see you through. After you pray this prayer, you're going to need a church home. And Bethlehem Baptist Church is a wonderful church. Need I say so myself, being the senior pastor. We're at 311 Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. And we would love to see you in the service. We challenge and encourage you to visit our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and at spelt out A-T. Also, I want to challenge you to visit my MySpace page at www.myspace.com/PastorMichaelEton. That's E-A-T-O-N. We'd love for you to click us in as your friends, and we'd love for you to come to our services. We'd love to see you in the service. And now, let me give us our benediction. A benediction is the final blessing. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. Put your hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either in the service or here in Cyber Church. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and praise the Lord. Word from the Lord. Just one.